Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We, of course, have been very, very concerned not only about people who are vulnerable, the older members of our community, but there's been a lot of concern around vulnerable people in terms of perhaps women who are living or find themselves in an abusive relationship, as well as children during lockdown and during the COVID pandemic. Joining us on the line is Maika Hulbrecht, who is the UNICEF South Africa Africa's Chief of Child Protection and Social Policy. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on this morning show.
So it's you know, the what we found, and I guess it's always the case, pre-existing conditions links as well to social elements, and that is the people that are the most vulnerable tend to get hit the hardest during a time like a pandemic, during a lockdown, and during these times. What have you found? What have you found in terms of children?
Okay, good morning all, and thank you for listening. So basically, before COVID hit the world, but in particular South Africa, we already faced a triple threat of poverty, unemployment, and gender-based violence in South Africa. And as a result of the pandemic and the consequent lockdown, of course, first of all, we saw the death toll with 56,000 persons who have succumbed to the virus, compounded by other illnesses like TB, respiratory illnesses, cancer, etc. Then we saw the learning journey interrupted of 9 million school children for a while. With that, with the school closure came the lack of school meals, and as a loss of livelihoods of many more people becoming unemployed, we saw also that intimate partner violence in the homes intensified.
And how does UNICEF reach the vulnerable? Because in many cases, these stories and what goes on in these places is deliberately hidden.
Yeah, so what we saw in terms of children is that intimate partner violence was spilled over into the homes, with 57% of children witnessing violence, but then also experiencing an intensified level of corporal punishment and abuse by caregivers who got into distress, and that led to their levels of anxiety and mental health, which are issues that are coming to the fore more and more, with children becoming depressed, but also 10% that demonstrated an intent to commit suicide. So what we are doing is to scale up our support to psychosocial support services for children in collaboration with Childline, Jelly Beans, and ACCW. There's a great need for parenting support and family strengthening services, home visits to vulnerable households with child-headed households, youth-headed households, grandmother-headed households, but also advocate for an improvement of the livelihoods of the home. Last year, we were successful with the civil society to advocate for the top-up of the child support grant. The grant levels do need to increase in order to meet the food dietary needs of households. But then it's important to really invest in the quality service provision on early childhood care and development, education, and safe spaces, so that children after school get support with homework, get psychosocial support in case needed, but also get empowered to address social ills and anxiety, to become resilient young persons and carve their pathway to the future.
The problem is that to a very large extent, you're dealing with a symptom, because so many of these items that you've listed are around employment and crime and the social structures that have forced grandmothers or grandparents to look after the kids while parents might be working in a different area, lack of access to nutrition, etc. A lot of this actually is symptomatic of a greater problem. It's almost impossible, an expectation to fix those problems for you, for any organization that is focused on the children. That must make it a very difficult task, because all you are really doing and not all, because it's not dismissive. It's critical and vital work. But all you are able to do is fix the symptoms.
Yeah, so that's a very good observation. So in your socio-ecological model that is around children and families, it's very important to identify who are the primary duty bearers responsible to raise a child in a safe and nurturing environment, and that's the family. And we do see many dysfunctional families because of the past with migration and migrant labor, etc. But also, since 94, you know, a lot of these families haven't come back together as the anchor of society. So it is important to strengthen families and the family unit, including fathers, and coach them in their role as fathers, so as to provide emotional financial support to the household to raise the children. And it will be important to have community dialogues around that safe and nurturing environment, where we are working with religious groups in order to create this dialogue on a weekly basis in different formats, so singing, praying, dancing, dialogues, and reaching out to families in distress. And then the state is providing services at scale, like water, sanitation, ECD, education, healthcare, etc. And there we continue to advocate with the state to improve the quality of service delivery, to alleviate access barriers to services, and to really make sure that, you know, the grant levels meet the dietary needs of children. So there we are, a public advocate working closely with the government. But as UNICEF, we can advocate and strengthen the quality of services. We are not providing services directly on the ground. And sometimes it's indeed not the most easy place to be at, but we can do what we can in an evidence-based manner.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it now makes more sense. I spoke to the Department of Education, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and they were talking about the need to get kids back to school because they were finding in their observations that they weren't getting that kids at home were not getting either maybe the nutrition or the academic support, and in fact their education was just slipping completely, whereas if they can get them back to school in a safe environment, COVID-wise, then they can offer a lot of these other support structures to the children.
Yes, that is very important. So children need normalcy, routine and rhythm. So the return back to school is incredibly important for them to continue their learning journey, but to also be surrounded by peers, and for the school environment to provide an overall nurturing and flourishing environment where children are safe at all times, where children in distress can be identified and have support from learning support agents and psychosocial support and child and youth care workers to address some of the social ills that are also happening in the schools, like bullying, drugs, even at times guns or whatever. So all this needs to be addressed in the school environment, which is important to complement the caregiving role of the parents themselves.
Absolutely right. And unfortunately, that is where we do need to leave it. Maike Hubrecht is the UNICEF South Africa's Chief of Child Protection and Social Policy, doing incredibly important work here in South Africa. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us.